You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and now on the phone we have former KVOA news or sports anchor Pete Delgado. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good, Steve. I just got through eating some homemade chicken enchiladas with Hat's Chilies. Maybe you had one of those.
Oh, I'll be right there. Unfortunately, you're in San Antonio, one of the other great places that I love in this world.
Yeah. It's hot here, but a different hot.
It's a muggy hot there. Hot. Is it? Are you going to get affected by the old hurricane that's coming through?
I'd sure like to get some rain. You know, unlike living in Tucson, you know, I have grass now. So, you know, it's anytime I get rain here, I'm good. But nothing damaging. Maybe we'll get a little rain out of it. But boy, those people down in that Gulf Coast.
Sure. You've been down there how long now?
You know, Steve, it's like right around now, 10 years. I left in 2009, and it's 2019, and it was, you know, midsummer. So I'm thinking it's like just been about now. You know, despite that, I've only been back to Tucson twice since then. I was there 4 or 5 years ago. My youngest daughter graduated there from the U of A, and then we took a trip out there last summer, you know, and, you know, of course, you know, like Mel Tillis said, you know, no one wants to go down to Tucson in the summer, but, you know, we did.
So Griswolds passed through here and probably stayed a day and said, let's get the heck out.
You know, my son was born there, but he didn't know much about it. So, you know, we drove around, did some sights, and probably one of the most interesting things is I went to the U of A and I wanted to see the Lute Olson statue.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't seen it. You know, that had been put up since I had left. So, you know, I kind of expected it to be out front, like where the Button Salmon thing had been, right? So, you know, I was walking around and I didn't see it, and there were some students walking around, and I said, you know, hey, where's the Lute Olson statue? And they kind of looked at me like, first, I don't know, and who's that? And I was like, huh. So, you know, I walked around, and there were some other students, and I went, yeah, Lute Olson statue? And they're kind of like, I don't know. And then there was maybe some, you know, faculty members or something. And, oh, it's around the corner. So the thought came to me, it's like, wow, you know, Lute hasn't been there a while. Maybe these students were 9 years old or something when he was there last, and they don't even know who he is.
Don't you, I'm sure you were aware that there was a World War II, there was a World War I, you did some history. These kids today, you know, if it's not on Google, they're not going to pay attention.
Yeah, I was really surprised, you know. You know, I was thinking about being on, you know, your show when you had contacted me earlier today. It was, you know, really kind of reminiscing back, you know, I was actually at KVOA three separate times, 85 to 84 to 86, 89 to 92, 2001 to 2004. And when I first got there in 84, and this is something that, you know, you may remember or you know, appreciate, then it was Lute's second year, I believe.
Yeah, and I got here in 87. How old are you? I got here in 87. Holy moly.
Oh, God, I just turned 60, man.
Wow.
You know, it was a little stressful, you know, changing the number in the front, especially to that one. You know, but, you know, we used to walk in to McHale Center with a camera, unannounced, walk into practice. Lute would stop practice and go, what do you need? Well, you know, can we talk to Eddie? Or Pete, you know, Pete Williams, Eddie Smith. Sure, send him over. You know, there was, you know, fresh face Steve Kerr, you know, back in those days.
Yes.
Yeah, well, can we talk to him? Yeah, I mean, it was like that. And, you know, you know how things have changed now. Like,
right.
You can't talk to the kids. You can't do a feature on the kids.
By the way,
they arranged to go to Eddie.
And Lou's probably saying, to you, and by the way, you need any tickets because no one else is getting them.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, you know, it was like that. I remember they arranged for me to go to Eddie Smith's apartment.
Yes.
With his young wife. And we, you know, just did a little story on, you know, this athlete that's a young married man with his, you know, his young wife and whatever, you know. Shoot, you know, I know these days, you know, they just give the name, rank, and serial number.
That's about right. Yeah. If that, they might not even give us the rank and serial number.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know. And you know how things have changed, too. Both my daughters graduated from the U of A, and of course, you know, I mean, being there for a long time, always been a Wildcat fan. And it's the basketball program now. First of all, it's so hard. I can hardly ever watch any games unless they're on ESPN. We don't get the Pac-12 network here. From what I understand, it's kind of a funky situation anyway. But, you know, you don't get to know. So I see them at tournament time.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, who are these guys? And then the next season, it's who are these guys? With all this one and done. And, you know, you just don't really get to know the players and love them and things like you did in the past.
No, that's one of my biggest complaints, no question. In fact, I think they're just going to have one of those Macy's Day revolving doors, you know, go in and go out and go in and go out at McHale. They're, you know, moving the ticket office and changing the thing there, the door, so they just kind of revolve in and out, because that's what they're doing. That's all they're doing.
It's you know, it was this year. I can say I did not watch one college basketball game, okay, until the tournament. I did not watch one college basketball game. I knew only one player, Zion Williamson, because, you know, they talk about him all the time. So I was involved in, as I always am, in, you know, an NCAA tournament pool. And I was that receptionist that wins. I won the tournament not knowing anything about anything. I won that pool. And I goes, well, you know, that just goes to prove it. You know, so often there's somebody that's not a big basketball fan and they're the one who wins the pool. Well, yeah, that was me. I was picking, you know, well, a bear could beat a cardinal, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that kind of thing.
The scorpion would bite the heck out of a hornet and yada, yada. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right. Yeah,
see,
that was me.
That leads me to the next thing. You should have not known anything in the business of sports when you were talking about it. You might have been better.
Yeah, maybe. And I find myself, since I don't have to anymore, it's more fun being a sports fan.
Isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's right now. I'm a big Dodger fan. So I, you know, I've got the app where, you know, I could watch it on my phone, watch it on my Apple TV, and I watch all the Dodger games, you know, and you know, talk about newcomers or whatever. And there's a kid that plays for the Dodgers, Jason Verdugo.
Yes.
And I didn't know where he was from. He's a rookie. He played a little bit last year. I thought he was with the Dominican or something. And when they were playing the Diamondbacks a couple of weeks ago, they said, you know, he was from Tucson. And I go, he's from Tucson? Really? And so I looked him up. Oh, he went to Saguaro High School. Oh, so I had sent another Saguaro alum, a man, of course, you know, Brad Alice,
yes,
and asked him. I said, hey, you know, was Jason Verdugo a big deal, you know, while he was in high school? And he said, oh, yeah, they knew that he was going to be something. So, you know, it's kind of another reason for me to root for Jason Verdugo, not only being a Dodger, but, hey, you know, Saguaro, Tucson kid.
I won't give you any grief because you are a Dodger fan, and it's been a long time since 1988 happened, so I'll leave you alone on that.
Yeah. Well, hey, the first Dodger game I went to was in 1969, so I've hardly been a front runner.
Yes, but, smart.
Yeah.
So don't you? I talk about this all the time. I'm not a big sports fan anymore. I've been in the business too long. I know how the sausage is made, and that's kind of turned me around to say, you know, enough already. But I enjoy what I do, obviously. But you know how it is. You get it now, where you're out of the business, and now you can guys sit back, have a beer, and relax, and watch the game, and not have to go to work right after.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I've been to events, and I see some of my, you know, former colleagues, you know, after the game, you know, running to the truck or running into the press room or, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, nah, I don't miss that. You know, one of the first things I wanted to do when I stopped doing it is I wanted to go tailgate. You know, I've never had that opportunity, you know,
right.
And I've tailgated a couple of times, you know, and, you know, not worrying about, you know, doing a live shot before the game or whatever. No, man, you know, make the hot dogs, drink the beer, look at the fans, you know, I enjoy it from that way. And I've also pared down, I think, what I do pay attention to. You know, I hate to say it, I didn't even watch one of the recent World Cup games. Despite having a kid that plays soccer.
Yes.
It was just like, meh.
Little Petey does everything, not just soccer. In fact, let me correct you on something. It's not Jason Verdugo, it's Alex Verdugo.
No.
Correct?
No, hold on. Oh, you're right. Yes.
Because we had a caller. Yes. We had a caller. Tell Mr. Delgado it's Alex Verdugo. In fact, I got to mention who I'm talking to here. Mr. Pete Delgado, former KVOA sports anchor in Tucson. For how long? You were three stints for, what, 20 years almost?
Well, yeah, like three-year stints. And then I was in Tucson for an additional five after my last run. You know, when I first started there in Tucson in 84, Brian Gladstone was the sports anchor there at four. Bud Foster was the news anchor. You know, I guess Bud's still around.
Yes.
You know, Lupita was, you know, first starting to say marijuana, you know, during her you know, news reports.
Don't forget,
you
know, Casa Grande. Don't forget Casa Grande.
Yes. You know, and I know she's still slodding along. I think she's been there close to 40 years or something.
Yes.
You know, I from what I understand, Bud's still going. And then when I went back, it was, you know, with the late, great Dan Ryan, and I did two stints with him. And, some of my very favorite live sports moments came while I was working at that station. You know, I back in 86, you know, there I was, in the top row of the west side of Arizona Stadium, right along the goal line there at the south end when Chuck Cecil, you know, intercepted the pass against Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the World Series in New York when the Diamondbacks played. They had a couple of walk-off home runs. With them playing New York in the background and that building just about falling down, the old Yankee Stadium. It was funny. I'm friends with David Adams, the former Wildcat running back, Sunnyside grad, on Facebook. And I reminisce of probably one of the most exciting moments. And, boy, you'd have to go back. He had like a 43-yard punt return against Cal. You know, that was about 84. You know, some really, really, yeah, the Toros winning the Pacific League, Pacific Coast League championship, you know, in extra innings, you know, there at a packed, High Corbett Field,
mm-hmm.
You know, some great times, you know. I always have a soft spot, you know, for Tucson, of course, and, you know, pull for Arizona athletes and that sort of thing. And you know, yeah, it's,
well,
hey, I had on my Arizona cap today.
Yeah, so, maybe that's why it prompted me to call. I may have gotten that vibe. He says, you know, I haven't talked to Pete in a while. Can you stick around for another segment? We can go to break here and then come back?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, great. Let's do that, Tom. Let's go to a break and come back and talk to Pete Delgado here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and I'm on the phone with former KVOA sports anchor Pete Delgado, who's now in Texas, enjoying the non-sports life. What a life. San Antonio. I love San Antonio. Mi Tierra is my fantastic best restaurant down there.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, that's anytime I go in that place, I get menudo.
Yes.
And I believe it's open
24 hours.
24 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's one of those things. Yeah. Here in San Antonio, you know, Spurs fans, you know, feeling a little blue, you know, after, you know, watching Kawhi Leonard, you know,
right,
lead the unlikely Raptors to the NBA championship, you know, here when all that was going down, you know, it was very confusing for everyone. But, you know, now, like, it's looking back, like, what a shame that that got screwed up.
Right.
That, you know, I mean, San Antonio has been very fortunate with, you know, the last 25, 30 years almost with, you know, getting a all-time caliber player, you know, first with David Robinson and then Tim Duncan, and Kawhi Leonard looked like that. He was going to carry that on, and then, poof.
Right. You know, and it's like
he's gone.
It's like a relationship. Once you think you have it, you don't. Hey, how often do you see Sean Elliott, or do you?
You know, that's kind of like another funny thing. It's been a while since I ran into him. It was at a game maybe about, well, it was when they won the championships. The last time I spoke to him personally was in 2014. I see him all the time because he does the broadcast.
Sure.
With you know, with the team, and it was one of those things where when I was looking for the Lute Olson statue, we poked our head, my son and I and my young nephew, we poked our head into McHale Center, and you know, there they have, you know, Sean Elliott and Steve Kerr, and I said to my son, I go, who's Sean Elliott? He goes, well, you know, he broadcasts the Spurs games. Yeah, well, he was a Wildcat. You know, how about Steve Kerr? And he's coach of the Warriors. Yeah, he was a Wildcat. You know, I mean, again, you know, the young ones obviously, you know,
don't know
these things. But Sean's, you know, he, like Tucson, you know, sometimes people, you know, went to the U of A and, you know, never left. You know, I mean, you know, Glenn Howell played there in the 80s and, you know, was part of the community, the fabric, you know, sports world there. A lot of folks here that come to San Antonio, they don't leave. You know, David Robinson stayed, Tim Duncan stayed, and Sean, you know, he's been here, you know, forever too. So, yeah, you know, it's a nice town. You know, it's a nice town.
It's
a great town for events. You know, I mean, I know the Wildcat football team's played in a Alamo Bowl or two.
If I were to vote, I would have the Final Four there every year.
It's such, you know, I mean, the Alamo Dome, they built that thing with the build it and they will come attitude. It opened up in 93 and they figured they were going to get NFL football. But it wasn't too long after, I mean, immediately after it opened, it was already antiquated. Not enough luxury boxes and things like that. The Spurs played there for a couple of seasons, won the championship while in that building in 99. But for an event, be it the Final Four, and the women have had their Final Four here a couple of times as well. The Alamo Bowl, it's a great place for an event because you can walk right from downtown where all the activity is there on the Riverwalk, and you know, eat and drink, and you know, come across that bridge, and you know, you're in the stadium. Yeah, no, it's a fantastic place to have an event, and San Antonio has learned how to put those things on and do a really great job.
Yeah, no, I love that place for that reason. I think that Indianapolis does a great job with that too. There's maybe a couple, New Orleans, same kind of deal like San Antonio. Fun place to be, and the stadium's right there, no question. So let me reminisce with you a few while I have you. You covered a number of teams here, a number of coaches, a number of players. Who? Let me just throw some stuff at you then. Dick Tomey, who sadly just passed. Just your quick thoughts on him.
You know, always a gentleman, always honest. You know, hey, I'm getting a little misty-eyed, you know, that you mentioned his name again, and I knew he hadn't been in ill health. But, he was a great guy. I know that I had sent him a message one way or another shortly after I came to San Antonio in 92 because it was right around that time. You know, the Wildcats were, you know, number one Sports Illustrated on the cover, you know, and he had really got things going there. And, you know, I was always very, very happy for him. And it was kind of like one of those things like, hey, you don't know what you had till he's gone.
Right.
You know? You know, I mean, you know, the way he went out a little unceremoniously there and, you know, and in a way maybe never kind of got back to the stability that he had going there during his time.
Yeah. Okay. What about Lute?
Oh, you know, loot again, going back to that more simpler time. But again, always, you know, always a gentleman, always making himself available. At that time, you know, the program was in its infancy, and, you know, his extra work that he had to do to just get people to go to games and things like that. And of course, you know, he really promoted the program and, you know, became such a model for what an NCAA basketball program, you know, should be. And the amount of players that he put out to the NBA, I mean, it was, you know, phenomenal. I'm sure somebody somewhere has made an accounting of the billions of dollars in salary that Lute Olson Wildcats earned while, you know, in the NBA and other forms of professional basketball.
In fact, Anthony Gimeno has that, and it was part of our book. Yeah, it's more than a billion, that's for sure now, as they continue to grow. What about the late, great, the baseball coach?
Jerry Kindle?
Jerry Kindle, yes.
Yeah, another great man. You know, strong Christian, real gentleman, real stand-up guy. I was around when they won that, the World Series in 85. I know there was a couple before I got to town, but, you know, he was always, you know, again, just, you know, a very nice man, very accommodating, and, you know, just a nice guy to be around. Yeah, boy, when you start adding up who starts passing away,
Hall of Fame.
Again, kind of, you know, makes you a little misty-eyed.
Yeah, Hall of Fame group right there. Just and maybe if I could, you're maybe a couple of great stories that you still have fond memories of when you were here. You know, TV's different because you have to get in and get out. You have to tell it in a minute or two. You don't have much time, but you have to pull it off. Maybe some of your two favorite stories.
Gosh, you know, there was one where. Back when they had match play at the PGA tournament, and it was played there at Randolph. And I'm trying to remember the guy's name. His first name was Mac somebody. And he was kind of a little unconventional. And he was going against, oh gosh, I'm trying to remember his name. He won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach with the chip from the sand on 17. He was going against him in the match play, and it was, you know, maybe a couple of points up on him, and he hit a tee shot. He hit a tee shot and just crushed it there at Randolph, and kind of threw the club up in the air and, which was, you know, very ungolf-like, you know, in 1985. But, you know, and there was also a guy in that tournament who no one had ever heard of. And he also made a nice run, but ended up having a very nice career. Bob Tway, who
sure.
Kind of came along. And I believe the great Greg Hansen, in his article about that, I hope I'm applying it to the right guy. Who knows? It might have been Corky. Referred to a gallery that suddenly started growing around him as Tway's Twoops. So
if I have to pick who wrote that, I don't think Greg writes that way. Corky writes that way. So I would then think that Corky wrote that.
Well, here's another one that I hadn't thought of it in a while. The great Jack Nicklaus was the designer there of the course at La Paloma. Okay. And so Nicklaus was there for, you know, the opening and did a very brief media session. Right. So we're there, and it was very brief, and Jack wasn't the friendliest of guys and a little gruff. And, you know, it's, as you know, we would say, you know, the gang bang, all the microphones and all the writers were all gathered around him. And he gave us, you know, 5 minutes or something. And then he was done. And that was breaking up. And as it was breaking up, here comes this reporter from Phoenix with his cameraman in tow, and they're running, you know, they're late. They missed this thing. And, you know, he comes up and Jack Nicklaus is walking away. And, you know, he comes up, you know, Mr. Nicklaus, you know, hey, can you give me a few minutes? He's like, no, I just got through talking to, you know, I just got through talking to the guys, you know, no, too late. And this guy kind of steps in front of Jack Nicklaus and says, hey, I just drove down here from Phoenix. If I don't talk to you, I'm going to get fired. You've got to give me an interview. And Nicholas went, oh, okay. So now this guy's getting a nice one-on-one with Jack Nicklaus, while us guys that, you know, were there on time and all that, you know, got those shots with, you know, 100 microphones in his face and whatever. And I was always wanting to have that opportunity that that guy could be me, because I went, hey, that just might work.
Right.
Well,
right.
No, but right, yeah, right. That, yeah, that's that.
So let me ask you, so in this business, you have to come up with some bad stories too. Not come up with, you have to deal with some tough stories. So maybe what was a tough story or two in your time here?
You know, there was one that it was during my last stint there. And it was one I didn't want to do, but they made me go do it anyway. And now I'm going to have, you know, there was a high school baseball team that had gone to a tournament in Las Vegas. And during the course of their stay, the coaches and parents all went out somewhere to enjoy Las Vegas nightlife, leaving the boys unattended. So, while the boys being boys, evidently they had strippers that went to the room. You
really?
May remember this.
I don't remember this.
Yeah. Okay, they had strippers that went to the room and somehow got alcohol, and it turned into this big raucous thing. And so they sent me down to go do a live shot during their, you know, late afternoon baseball game and recap this story. And while I remember it being one of my best long-winded, you know, reports that I did, and I know I hit all the points, but yet did it very delicately. There, a group of, and I knew they were getting mad, but I didn't say anything that wasn't factual. I never showed any baseball players, never mentioned a name, even though there were some names out there, just said that it happened and the school was looking into it, and had those parents after that live shot come up and angrily confront me to the point that it almost got physical.
Really?
It was like that. I didn't necessarily, to me, it was, I wanted, hey, look, this is a news story. This is not a sports story. No. You know, they sent me to do it. And I know, yeah, that was uncomfortable.
Right,
but
right.
For the most part, everything, you know, I mean, while there's, yeah, unfortunate things through the years, I look back to all that very fondly.
Right, right. No, it's funny because sometimes the sports department did have to pull off those tough stories, although people consider us to be the toy department of the newsroom.
Right. You know, I mean, I know there were, you know, issues with some basketball players or, you know, football players getting into trouble and, you know, things like that. And, you know, hey, I would much rather just talk about the game, who played well and whatever. You know, let Lupita Murillo, you know, mention that they might have been smoking marijuana, you know, so.
or bringing hookers to the hotel room.
Hey,
I never would have had that type of guts to do that, whether in Vegas or wherever. More power to these kids who did that. I guess I don't know what that's
well,
crazy.
Yeah.
I don't remember that story.
It would have had been about 03-04.
Well,
somewhere around it.
What?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there. I'm kind of remembering the high school, but don't want to mention it because I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, don't.
And you know, that's one of those things too, Steve. And you've been through these. You know, you've been through a transition with media.
Yes.
You know, back in the day, you could not report anything unless you had two sources.
Yes.
Now you can report something because somebody said something on Twitter, you know, so, you know.
Very much so. That said, do you miss the business?
Yeah, I don't miss what it's become. You know, I watch a local newscast here, mostly just bridging to the national news that I watch. And, you know, what you find is, you know, I've been out of the business long. I had to find out what an MMJ was,
which is
I guess a multimedia journalist. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, including Lupita has to carry her own camera and tripod and do these things. So therefore, I notice on local newscasts just the quality of the video and things like that. Me knowing what happens, I know that reporter can't actually focus his camera on himself. So he may put up a tripod or a light stand or something, doing his best. But now he stands in front of that to record his stand-up, and he's out of focus. These people that aren't brought up knowing photography don't know how to adjust the camera to make the colors look right or the contrast look right. You know, back in the day, you know, it was, you know, that photographer, he was an expert photographer, and it mattered what went on the air. Now it's just, let's put something on. And, you know, I don't want to sound like the bitter old dude, but, you know, I mean, I could just see it because, I mean, I know the quality standards that we used to try to adhere to and achieve. I don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're also in an age where, you know, I mean, people can, you know, they'll watch a movie on a, you know, a 5.5-inch phone screen and, you know, listen to their music on one little tinny speaker on their phone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, what people expect to see or want to see, it's not the standards of the past. You know, hey, I still play vinyl records on, you know, with a big powerful amplifier and my, you know, and my big floor speakers.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know,
sure.
I, like I said, you know, my wife listens to it on her phone.
Yeah.
So,
maybe,
you know,
maybe lastly, because you did work with one of the good guys, Mr. Late Dan Ryan. How was it with him? He was back from my country in northern New Mexico. Good guy, good sports guy, just working for him.
You know, Tom McNamara, you know, gave me a call. And, you know, so often when somebody passes away, you know, you may have feelings of guilt, like, how come I hadn't called him or something like that. And in reality, very fortunate, I hadn't spoke to Dan in maybe a couple of years, but ironically, I had called him less than a week before he passed. And, you know, when Tom called, you know, very, very, you know, I mean, I just about, you know, hit the floor, you know. I mean, I may have started crying because I love Dan Ryan. Dan was, we would sit in our sports office and talk for hours. And very rarely were we talking sports. You know, we talked movies and, you know, life and TV shows and music and things like that, you know. Dan always had a smile on his face, you know, a great guy, truly one of my favorite people. And, you know, I was kind of down in the dumps. I was without a job and looking and not finding anything. And in 2001, he called me and said, hey, you know, hey, you still looking? Yeah, I am. Well, hey, we got a spot. Well, let's get you here. So, you know, Dan pulled me off the scrap heap at that time and, you know, just got me back going, kept my life going. And, you know, forever, you know, I'm grateful to him and, you know, truly thought of him as, you know, one of my very favorite people and, you know, one of my, you know, best friends, you know, that I've ever worked with or been around.
Yes, yes. Well, good, Pete. Good to talk to you. Send me some meat tierra when you have a chance.
Okay.
Just set it on the cold ice, and I'll get it the next day.
All right, Steve. Hey, man. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I heard, you know, about your program, and you know, was very well received. I speak with John Schuster every once in a while, another guy that I'm sure you know.
Yes.
And you know, and he has told me that no, that you know, Steve's doing a great job. The show's being well received, and that you know, you put out a good product every day. I'm glad I got to be a part of it today.
Great. Well, thank you. It's about the good old days and good stories to be told. There's plenty of them out there.
All right. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Pete.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Take care. Thanks for joining me here on 1030 The Voice. Let's take a quick break here, Tom, and then take our final segment at the end of the week here on Trusted or 10:30, The Voice, Trusted Local News and Talk.
Get out your thumb. Standing on a corner, trying to catch a ride with Mr. Stevie R.
Are we good? Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here. You didn't give me my cue. I guess you took my cue.
I did.
On 10:30,
The Voice. I got taken away by the music. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll just write you up. I'll write you up. It's okay. The management will say
demerits.
So I have Bob on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah.
We can always do Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Yeah, I get my demerits.
That's fine. I figured you were kind of maybe start to dance or something. I see that you looked up some NBA type of things.
Well, since things have been happening.
Yeah.
So we had...
Are those the latest? Are they the latest?
This is after the recent trade from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Houston Rockets, okay. Bringing Harden and Russell Westbrook back together.
So give me the numbers there, senor. Drum roll, please.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got...
Go down. Because
you want to go down here?
Right. That'll be the show.
All right.
The Lakers are favorite at plus 35, 350. So that if you spent 100, you win 350 or 450. As you profit.
The Warriors are still a good bet.
Oh, yeah, 1,300. I like that bet. 100 to win 1,400. That's a good bet. So it's the Lakers, the Clippers. The Lakers aren't going to win this. There's just no way. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Rockets. The Rockets are a pretty good price. 700 to 1, or 700 to 7 to 1, actually. Sixers at 800, Warriors at 1,300, Jazz 14, Celtics 2,000, Nets 2,000, Nuggets 2,000. So if you were a betting man, and I know you're not, where are you putting your money?
I like the Warriors. The Warriors were, what, 1,600? Now they're down to 1,300?
Yes, uh-huh.
So now's the time to jump on the Warriors if if you feel good about them.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better.
Because those odds are, and they're not going to get any better than this for the Warriors.
No, I agree with you. You're going to bet it better now. In fact, I might do that with a friend. $20 to win $280. That's not a bad bet.
Not bad.
Not bad. The Lakers, I can't believe the Lakers are favored. One, because LeBron, I know that, obviously, and Anthony Davis. But still, it's so dysfunctional that I think that's going to override a lot of the things.
The dysfunctionality is mainly with the front office or just the whole operation or what?
All of the above. I think it's all of the above. And they still need talent to go along with LeBron and Anthony Davis. So we'll see. Even the Clippers, I'm not too sold on that.
So what's the scuttlebutt? They think that Davis and LeBron are going to play well together?
Well together, and they're going to be the two shining stars, obviously. They're going to be very good, obviously, but,
Well, where's their supporting cast?
That's exactly it. I don't know. They'll have some two or three other guys, but it's not – their depth is going to be questionable, and everything else is going to be questionable because that front office is horrible. Horrible. The bus situation is bad. The GM, I wouldn't put my money there. But the Rockets, I wouldn't even put a flyer. I would put a flyer on the Rockets with KD, and not KD, with Russell Westbrook and Harden. That's 700. So if you put 100, you win 800. But I like the Warriors. I don't know why. Maybe it's my fascination with Steve Kerr and them. But
They've pushed the Warriors down with the Jazz and folks like that, for crying out loud.
So we'll see. That's
we don't see the Raptors in there. They're not even listed.
No, that ain't happening. They had their little window, and if you remember, they were one shot away from not advancing. That Kawhi shot against the 76ers that won it. But I've asked you this 1,000 times. Do you believe in destiny?
I'm not a big destiny person.
No. So how do you think Toronto won?
I think you make your own luck.
No, I agree with that too.
Opportunity in the right place at the right time. I don't know.
I agree with that. I agree with that, but I also believe in destiny too, wholeheartedly. So I guess I'm conflicted. I guess I'm conflicted because that shot when they beat Philadelphia, that went in just how in the world did that go in?
Well, the Raptors aren't going to have any more Kawhi Leonard last second shots.
No, they're not going to have very many shots. I bet you they win maybe 25 games if that. Next year, and they also have two U of A guys with Stanley Johnson and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
which would make the Raptors of interest to Wildcat fans because of that.
That's right.
But don't only that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're all scattered now. Well, they've been scattered with TJ now in Indianapolis, and Markkanen still in Chicago, and Ayton obviously here. It was interesting to talk to Jude LaCava and talking about the Suns, how bad they are, because they're just bad. They're just bad. And it's not going to get any better. It's going to be a long time before they're good to watch or fun to watch again.
All right. Well, you've pointed out the dysfunctionality with the Lakers. Where does it lie with the Suns?
Oh, it's with the top, at the ownership level. Sarver's U of A guy, a Tucson guy.
How many coaches have they gone through in the last 5 years?
Five. I think it's all five.
Just it's like a coach of the year and new coach every year.
Yeah. You don't win like that. There's no stability. There's no stability.
Exactly.
And for whatever reason, they're doing it. I don't know. Sometimes people throw money at situations that improve them or hope to improve them, and that doesn't work. I mean, sometimes there's some self-reflection that needs to be done, and I think that's not being done here. But, you know, the funny thing is I'm talking about the NBA. I don't really follow the NBA until the playoffs, nor do I care. But here we are in the summer talking about this. With 2 weeks from today, the football team at U of A starts the season, looking forward to Hawaii, August 24th, I think it is. So it's right upon us. I remember when I was covering the team on the daily at the Citizen, I used to hate coming back from vacation in July because that's when you had to go to work every day again. Back then, I worked every day. I didn't really have days off, but I had a lot of comp time. So I was like a teacher, and I just took the summers off.
That's the time to do it, I guess.
Yeah, and I left town a lot. I left town, and I feel like I'm a teacher still now, although this job has me here every day during the week and coming up with the guests. But today was a good day. I had the coach the coach and the president of the team in Mexico at Puerto Peñasco, Brian Simeon. And so maybe go down there.
Simonian.
I can't remember. Simonian.
Yes,
Simonian. That's right. Maybe goes down there and see some basketball. Who else did I have? I had LaCava, like I said, in Phoenix. And then now Pete Delgado. He's funny. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but it's been a while. We talked to each other on Facebook. He says, you know, a lot. I hope I don't say you know a lot. Do I? You know? No, I don't. He said, you know, a lot.
I don't know. I haven't noticed it.
No, I don't say it. I don't say you know very much.
Okay.
I say like...
You don't say that about me.
No.
As far as you're concerned about me, I don't know anything. And that's fine, because I come to you for knowledge.
Yes. Yeah. I know, you know, we all know. We all scream for ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. No, I hadn't talked to him in a long time. He was a good storyteller at Channel 4 and a very funny guy. Back in the day when he was at Channel 4. And he's right. Back in the day was a lot of fun because we had a lot of access. And I've said this 1,000 times on the show. Nowadays, you don't have that access. But back then, I would be surprised that Lute actually let him or let them go and interview players while they were coaching. I would assume after the practice that they would let him talk to the guys.
Well, I noticed that ESPN is... completely shunned Arizona when it comes to preseason rankings.
They're in the top. I think they're in the top 25. Well, this is an old thing. This is like from last month, June 6th. But I think they're in the top 20 for sure.
Well, you're fascinated. You got Gonzaga.
Oh yeah, Gonzaga's way ahead.
Number 7. Let's see.
You're fascinated with this basketball. Here we go. 15. See.
All right.
See, they'll be fine.
They've dropped from the 13th. Position to 15.
Yeah,
for some unknown reason.
Because their other teams have moved ahead of them. That's why.
Is that it?
That's it. Not for their own, because other teams have jumped ahead
of them. The Huskies, they've got them ranked 21st. They've also been pushed down. Colorado Buffaloes, they've got them ranked in the 22nd position. Huh.
What does ESPN know? It's funny.
Know?
It's funny because
Trojans, number 25.
A lot of my friends and that I have for Facebook, they believe ESPN on certain things and just hate ESPN on others. Do you know where they hate ESPN on others? When it comes to the investigation. But they'll agree, you know, you listen to certain things, but listen, not listen to others. That's how ESPN is to them.
Any comments from Dick Vitale lately?
No.
I haven't heard anything.
No, I know, but he's got into Twitter wars with a lot of the UA fans, that's for darn sure. Because now that the trial's over, there's no need to get into fight with Dick Vitale.
Oh, okay. It just seems like every now and then you are hearing another comment about Arizona. From Dick Vitale, so right. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You were?
Nothing flattering.
No. He was pretty tough on the Arizona program.
I think he doesn't like Sean Miller very much. I don't know what it comes from, something in the past, maybe. I don't know. But it's not so much the U of A program overall. I think Vitale is just kind of down on Miller. Back in the day, down on somebody used to mean you didn't favor them much. Nowadays, I guess down on somebody means you do. So, but you know what I mean.
Yes, I do know what you mean, and I agree with you. For whatever reason, he is. The funny thing about it, like Arizona fans point out to him, how could you be down on Miller and not down on Patino when he's really a pro Patino guy?
Yes,
and knowing what Patino has done at Louisville.
But then you also wonder, has Dick Vitale ever traveled west of the Mississippi River?
Oh, he has. In fact, they loved him. They loved him here in the late 80s when he was loving Arizona with Sean and Steve Kerr and all that group way back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Tom, thanks for the week.
Yes, sir.
I'm packing
well,
up.
Well, the second half of the week anyway.
Second half. That's right. Yeah,
next week you get Bob
Monday and Tuesday,
and then I'll see you next Wednesday.
I'll change gears. Yeah, hope to have a good guest next week. So thanks. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to everybody next week here on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.